This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Finally, mercifully, Friday's opening bell sounds, and we head toward the weekend. Dave Cohen, it's been a long week, hasn't it?
We're going to do the Footloose dance, huh?
Yeah, we do a little line dancing. What do you think? You ready?
Yeah, I don't know it, but...
Yeah, I don't either. Do you do any line dancing?
I can do the Macarena.
I saw a video of Kim Mulkey going on the floor to do some dancing, line dancing, and she picked it up pretty quick. Some people can look at dance steps and pick it up pretty quick. Others have no ability at all.
I'm amazed when someone can go out there and follow somebody else's lead and pick it up during the dance the first time ever.
When it comes to that at all. Do you?
I'm
as good at line dancing and picking up dancing as I am at carpentry. And that's like I cut the board three times, still too short. You know what I'm saying? I have nothing at all. Yeah, My dad, rest his soul, was perfect at fixing anything, and that's good because I could break anything.
With Cupid Shuffle, you could probably do that. It's only three moves.
No, I don't think so. No. Okay. I know there's a lot of I can stomp and kick and clap, but not all at the same time when I'm supposed to.
I can do a worm.
Because that's all line dancing right? But, yeah. A lot of stomp, kicking, and clapping?
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah. I will take a break. We come back. We're going to talk with Dr. Robert Hogan, professor and department chair of political science at LSU, about leadership in Washington, bringing home the bacon. Man, back in the day, Allen Ellender and Hale Boggs, Louisiana had a lot of stroke in Washington, and then J. Bennett Johnston, but lately not so much. Seems as though with the power that Louisiana has now with Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise, it's more about national politics and it's about bringing home the bacon to Louisiana. Maybe times have changed. We'll see when we come back, WWL. It is 6:14 now on this Friday morning, and we thought we'd talk about, with the passing of Bennett Johnston, the history of leadership in Washington and people of Louisiana in that position and what they've been able to bring home to Louisiana and how that compares with the current day. Robert Hogan joins us. Dr. Robert Hogan, professor and department chair of political science at LSU. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well. Let's talk about the historical context of this. And I can remember as a kid, my parents talking about Hale Boggs and Allen Ellender and the things that they did. Talk about the history, if you will, of Louisiana, and maybe even before that, Huey Long, I don't know, the history of Louisianians in powerful positions in Washington and what they were able to do for the state.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that Louisianians have often sent very colorful and flamboyant people to Washington to represent them, and that has proven to be successful for the state in terms of bringing home the bacon, as it's called, or bringing home money, getting federal dollars that have the option of being spent perhaps in other states, being spent here in the state, and that's something that I think the state has a history of doing, and Bennett Johnson was somebody who didn't really fit that same mold as a lot of previous people had done. I mean, he was someone who is viewed certainly as a quiet compromiser, someone who was got things done behind the scenes, but got things done for Louisiana nonetheless. Huge amounts of money were brought to the state, and he also, of course, was people give him credit, rightly so, for helping continuing to grow the energy industry in this state that fuels so much of the jobs and economic vitality that the state has. So he's someone who did things a little differently, but was very effective at it, and certainly has had did things that helped out generations.
when it comes to things like the New Orleans having the Saints or the state having the states, Saints, however you want to look at it, a lot of that had to do with antitrust laws with the NFL and positions of leadership by Louisiana officials, right?
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you behind the scene, and a lot of that is behind the scenes work. These are not things that are done out in public where you have, you know, a public debate about these issues, but you have people behind the scenes, you know, tweaking bills, tweaking legislation in a certain way that at least the people here know will have huge effects, or could have huge effects economically. And that's what you see, you know, the insiders, people working behind the scenes would do.
And Alan Ellender, I think, had a lot to do as a senator, had a lot to do with military spending in the state, right? And Hale Boggs as well?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, they were responsible for a lot of the spending and, you know, military bases. I mean, those things, I mean, you know, were certainly attributable to the efforts of politicians that we have sent to Washington.
So let's fast forward to today, Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise. Is it as beneficial to Louisiana, or is it more about supporting the party and Republican agendas all over the country for the, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, I think politics today is very different than it was just even a few years ago. I mean, Bennett Johnson is a perfect example of how you would get things done. A lot of it was behind the scenes. Today, in order to get political support, to get public support for your candidacy, you need a lot of the grassroots support. It's not the party elites. It's not the financial elites. They're helping, you know, stoke your nomination and put you out there. You've got to get individual voters to support you. And sometimes that requires people who have, you know, a social media presence, or certainly are willing to say things that get the attention of the party faithful. So you have people like Scalise and certainly Mike Johnson who have those characteristics that, you know, you not everybody has. But at the same time, your question is an important one. Do they bring home the bacon? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they can. They often do, but I suspect probably not as much as politicians of the past, because, you know, how does someone both of them, for example, are people who believe in strict fiscal conservatism, right, in which you don't want to have any largesse, you don't want to have anything that might be viewed as wasteful. You can't go home and be boastful about, you know, all the money that they're bringing to Louisiana. So, you know, you have to hew those lines of ideological conformity that your party has put out there. It's much more difficult in that kind of context to bring home the bacon as people like Bennett Johnson did in the past.
Even if it means you're doing something that would not necessarily be in the best interest of your own state or the people that voted for you, but it's right in the best interest, you could say, of the party or idealistically, I guess, the country, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, Bennett Johnson was someone who really liked bringing home money to the district. In fact, he had problems with Jimmy Carter, the president within his own party. Jimmy Carter didn't like all the water projects that members of Congress loved, right? Drainage projects, and you would, you know, take this huge pool of money, and everyone would divide it, and everyone would get something for their district. Jimmy Carter said, you know, was very much like a lot of the conservatives of today. You know, we've got to be much more frugal with our budget. We've got to make certain that everything is efficient. And Johnson did not like that. And so he had, you know, a conflict within his own party over those sort of issues.
We'll take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. I'm having a hard time understanding today, you know, who's representing who for what and why and what the goal is here, because it seems like back in the day they would have Republicans that would cross the aisle and do something that was in the best interest of their state or the people that in their district, and the Democrats would do the same thing. But now it seems like it's red or blue, that's it, and screw everything else. We'll talk more with Dr. Robert Hogan when we come back, and I don't think it's just Louisiana. I think that's the entire nation. Robert Hogan, professor, department chair of political science at LSU. But with that being said, federal spending's not going down, so where's the money going? I have a lot of questions here. We'll take a break for traffic, WWL. 626 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Dr. Robert Hogan, Professor, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. Jay Bennett Johnson passed away earlier this week, and he represented Louisiana in the Senate for 24 years, brought the state millions of dollars working with both parties. It seems as though Louisiana has a lot of power in Washington right now. If you look at the majority party, if you look at the Speaker of the House, if you look at the majority leader in the House, but yet it seems as though not as much bacon being brought home. But as Professor Hogan was saying before, that's not necessarily just Louisiana. Professor, if I understand what you were saying, that's kind of the way national politics or the way Washington is working now.
Well, certainly now, in terms of, I mean, budgetary constraints are the talk of the day, and so there's not a lot of money. It's in some ways where will money be taken away? in some ways, another way to think about this is because we have powerful representation in Washington, Louisiana might not lose as much as a lot of other states. Given what we're seeing in terms of layoffs with the federal government and reductions in spending and things such as that that are inevitable, I think, with the budget that is coming up, we may not suffer as much as other states. And that's not a minor thing.
No, but I'm just wondering, we'll see what happens with the budget and what gets approved, but the deficit continues to go up, as does the debt.
Sure.
So if the leadership and maybe Louisiana won't suffer as much, the money's got to be going somewhere, right? So how is the spending going along with the politics of all of this and who's getting it? That, you understand what I'm saying? It seems like there would be some kind of missing element here.
Well, where does the money go? I mean, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, we are seeing real cuts in the federal government right now in terms of jobs, and a lot of those jobs are here in this state. The Health and Human Services cuts that were announced by Robert Kennedy just yesterday or the day before, mm-hmm. Those have severe cuts to jobs in this state and on the ability of citizens to get services that many of which are needed, despite the calls that all this money that is cut is only waste, fraud, and abuse. Despite that, there are people in the state who believe it is not. I think we're in for some major cuts or certainly some major shifts. Now money is going to be shifted. I mean, if Trump and the Republicans are able to get a continuation of the large tax cuts that were adopted in 2017, those go to very wealthy people. We have some wealthy people in the state, but it's certainly far fewer than other states as a percentage. So you may see transfers of wealth in that way. You got the whole red state, blue state thing going on. Mm-hmm. You got to think that red states have to have some reason to want to support Republican policies. I do believe that the old way of politics, of where you dance with the one that rung you help out, mm-hmm. the people who supported you, is different. We are in a period in which ideology matters a great deal. Your position on key issues of concern of the day or of critical importance, that's the thing that gets people to vote. People aren't voting necessarily based upon economic issues anymore. I think a lot of it is based on cultural sorts of issues. Certainly when you have a president now, such as Trump, that is pushing those cultural buttons constantly. And day after day, we're seeing deportations, we are seeing changes to the way the government is planning to govern. All of these are just red meat for partisans, not just within his party, but in the other party. So, those are the things that I think are the big moving parts in politics right now. That is different from the old economic politics of the past.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time and your insights. Professor Robert Hogan, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU, will take a break. Speaking of LSU, talk with Jeff Palermo. A whole lot of stuff going on with the athletic department right now. Time for WWL First News.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Dave Cohen. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL.
All right, here we go. Heading into the second half hour of the 6 o'clock hour. And I'm sorry, I got some stuff going on. Let's talk with Jeff Palermo. Yeah, I know. Let's talk with Jeff Palermo when we come back. Dave Cohen, the WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. We're going to talk about LSU's baseball series against Mississippi State, Lady Tigers Sweet 16 match, and also we'll get an update on spring practice, how it's been going from Brian Kelly and the Tigers. So a lot going on. We'll talk about that and more when we return on WWL. 644, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. A lot going on in Baton Rouge with LSU Athletics, and here to help us talk about it all is our friend Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeffrey?
Doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
Is it Jeffrey or not? Is that your real name?
Well, when my wife is angry with me, yes, then it's Jeffrey.
Uh-oh. Well, you don't want to hear Jeffrey. You don't ever want to hear that. What's your middle name?
James.
Jeffrey James Palermo. I bet you when you hear all three of those, that's when you're really in trouble. Let's talk about LSU and Mississippi State.
Well, fun game last night. It didn't start out fun. Cade Anderson Mississippi State jumped on him. You know, hit a two-run homer off of him in the first. He ended up giving up three home runs on the night, and they really battled him. They came in with a good game plan. He wasn't as sharp. He hung a slider, especially in the first inning there, giving up the two-run homer, and it was just a grind. And that's what you're going to see sometimes, even from your best pitchers, where it's just not going to go smoothly, but it didn't get out of control. He kept LSU within striking distance. And then in the fifth inning, Mississippi State, who was throwing a bullpen game, meaning they were throwing mainly relievers. They started a pitcher who only went three innings, and then they brought in another one. And they got to that second pitcher who he walks the first two guys he faces. Daniel Dickinson then hits a three-run homer. Josh Pearson has a really good at-bat after that. And then Steven Milam hits a two-run homer, and all of a sudden what was a four-run deficit, LSU grabs a one-run lead. They add another run in the eighth inning, and they end up winning it 8-6. And not only is the story of the game that five-run fifth inning, but Zach Collin was absolutely outstanding out of the bullpen. Four shutout innings. You couldn't ask for – I mean, struck out seven. His ERA is down to 1.07. I mean, just very impressive stuff that they're getting out of the Wofford transfer, and that was exactly what LSU needed. And it's the reason why, Tommy, he's still in the bullpen. It's for games like what happened last night, where your starter doesn't have it, but yet you're still in the ball game, and you need someone to just shut the opponent down for three or four innings, and he was able to do that last night. He's not going to be able to do it every night, but if he can do it most of his outings, that is just a huge advantage to have out of the bullpen.
That was my next question. When would he be available again?
Well, probably not until next weekend, or unless they pitch them in the midweek game next week. I mean, he threw over 50 pitches, so it's likely that he will not be pitching again this weekend. But they still have another strong arm out of the bullpen that they could potentially use, and that being Cason Evans. So we'll see. Today, LSU is going to be going up against Mississippi State's top pitcher. They're going to need a good start from Anthony Ianson to try to match him. But that's why it was so big to come back and win that game last night, because you had the pitching advantage in the game. It looked like it was going to get out of reach for LSU, but there's a reason why the Tigers have the best offense. You know, the Tigers have the best offense in the Southeastern Conference, so they're not out of too many games. Texas shut them down on Sunday, but I don't think you're going to see that too often. Eventually, they're going to break through, and they were able to do that. And if you're going to walk the first two hitters in an inning against this offense, you're asking for trouble, and that's exactly what happened for Mississippi State.
When it comes to bringing guys out of the bullpen, are they on a pitch count? Does that determine when they can go again?
Yeah, part of it is. I mean, like Connor Bench pitched yesterday, but I think he only threw maybe 20 or so pitches, so he's good to come back, possibly even tonight if you need him to. But, once you get up to that 40, 50 or so pitch mark, that makes it really tough to come back the next day. And then, you know, especially with Zach Cowan, the five or over 50 pitches, that makes it really tough to kind of come back two games from now. But now, let's say if it was a regional or a super regional series.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's when you push it. But we're still here in March, and I think Jay Johnson, just like what happened last week against Texas, you know, kind of a similar situation in that Cowan threw three innings in that first game against Texas and then pitched the rest of the weekend. I think what you want to see if you're Jay Johnson is some of these other guys get back out on the mound, the Maverick Rizzies, the Cooper Williams, the William Schmidt, the Connor Ware. There's a lot of other guys that they want to see, you know, try to continue to develop. It's still early here. You don't need to be just pushing these guys to the max just yet. So let's see if some of these other guys that they're kind of waiting to develop, let's see if they can take a step in the right direction sometime during this series.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those situations where if there's no, quote, tomorrow, like the cliche goes, well, that's a little bit different. Then let's see what you got. Come on out. Let's see what you have. But at this time of year, no, not so much. All right, Jeff Palermo is our guest talking about LSU sports. We'll talk about ladies basketball when we come back. Right now, time for WWL traffic. 6:55, 5 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Jeffrey Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director about LSU. And we already talked about men's baseball. We're getting ready to talk about ladies basketball. Jeff, I do not want to incur the wrath of Kim Mulkey, okay? But I will say this. This is just me saying this. I'm not attributing this to Kim Mulkey at all. However, she said last week there were going to be a lot of points scored in the Florida State game, and I told Tim Zimmer, who's my fellow degenerate gambler, man, that sounds to me like bet the over, and sure enough, the over hit. Now, I'm not saying that Kim Mulkey, look, let me clear this up. I'm not saying in any way she was talking about betting on a game or anything like that, but it was interesting how she talked about a lot of points being scored, and there certainly were. Tell me about the game tonight.
Well, tonight might see some more points, I think, Tommy. I mean, I think this is going to be a game that will be played in the 80s, maybe not as much as what we saw in the Florida State game, especially those two teams. I mean, in the first half, or really they were trading baskets. I mean, 99 points or whatever it was, 101 points in that first half. That was pretty impressive. And then LSU made some adjustments at halftime on Florida State's top scorer, and Florida State got shut down, and LSU kept scoring and ended up winning by 30 points. You know, in this game, North Carolina State and LSU, they've already played once this season way back in November in the Bahamas. LSU won that game, but North Carolina State, who was in the Final Four last year, has really developed. They play four guards. I think they hit 15 three-pointers in their last game against Michigan State, so LSU's going to have to defend the perimeter. I mean, the biggest thing LSU has going for itself right now is its health. The decision to rest Flaje Johnson and not play her in the SEC tournament is paying off. Michaela Williams looks good. Anisha Morrow has been bothered with a foot injury. Getting some of that time off in between the SEC tournament and the start of the NCAA tournament was a big break for LSU, and they looked really good last week. And then the supporting cast was really good. But that was on their home court. Let's see if this supporting cast can travel, right? I mean, they got such a great outing from Samaya Smith last Monday where she scored 20 points on 9 of 9 shooting. What are they going to get out of her tonight? What are they going to get out of some of the bench players, the Jada Richards, the Kaylin Gilbert? I think LSU, they'll go as far as – I mean, they got three terrific players in Williams, Morrow, and Johnson, but – what they get out of those other players, I think, is going to really determine the fate of their season. If they get some really good contributions to support the Big Three, then yeah, this team is a team that can get back to the Final Four, and they're as good as anybody to beat anybody else.
Along those lines, she talked about unselfishness before Kim Mulkey did about passing the ball, and she seemed to be happy with what happened against Florida State. It always is puzzling to me to determine how much you want them to pass the ball. Do you go with the hot hand? How does she balance all of that, Jeff?
Well, I think she, I don't want to say she trusts these players, but I mean, there is a part of the trust with it. It is interesting. If you ever, especially when LSU's operating offensively on the side of where LSU's bench is at, and how she really, when they're in their half-court offense, how she, I mean, she's a former point guard herself. Mm-hmm. She's kind of directing the offense from the sideline. Yeah. It's pretty fun to watch when you're able to kind of really watch that. I know most of you're watching the ball and all that, where that's going. But
no, I noticed when she drops to the squat, that's when she's really getting into it.
Yeah.
Right?
But I tell you what, they got as I mentioned, they got three really good scorers in Morrow, Johnson, and Williams, and I think she gives a lot of allows them to be allows them to share the basketball as much as they can.
Thank you, Jeff.